Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Ayin Omud Beis. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah in the middle of Simin Tav Samach Zayin, and we begin at the very top of the first line, first word, with Sif Hei. The Mechaber writes, Dogon Shebe Milchuber, if you have grains that are still attached to the ground. However, Shenis Yabesh Lagamrim, they've totally ripened, they're totally dry, they not sarichli anika, and they don't benefit anymore by being attached to the ground. In other words, they're fully mature and ripened. So we view these halachically, kiman demanach pikada domi. In halacha, we view them as if they're already detached from the ground and they're in some sort of a container. And therefore, they can become chometz. Normally, something that's attached to the ground, no matter how wet it gets in the rain, it doesn't become chometz. But here, we view them halachically as if they're already detached from the ground since they no longer require the ground for nourishment, and we say that they can accept and become chometz, even attached to the ground. Im yardu alav gisham, if rains fell on them. We'll see it means a lot of rains, if they got very wet. Let's see inside the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Yud Zayin. Kosev Chayodim brings up the Chayodim. The Mitamze, based upon this rationale, Noagim HaChareidim, people that are zealous in the performance of mitzvos, people that are medaktik in mitzvos, they do, Shiyu Kol HaMatzo Shalhen Mishuvarim Mishas Kitzira, that they eat Shmura Matzah, that is protected and watched from the time of the harvest, all Pesach Long, not only for the matzos of mitzvah on Seder Pesach night, but even throughout Pesach. Why? Because sometimes people leave the grains out too long in the field and they're already fully ripened, and they don't have a chance to harvest them, and they can potentially become chametz if they get wet. And that which is called shmura matzah from the time of the harvest, they go and cut them while they're still a little bit moist, they haven't fully dried up, and therefore, Ayin Shami says, go look in Chayyadim, that is the preferred way. And in fact, in Dirsha footnote number 24, he reminds us that we've learned previously that there are those like the Vilna Gaon, as brought down in the Bir Halacha previously, that were Machmir, based upon this, Shlo Lechol Kol Yemei Achag, they would eat all Pesach, not only the Seder night matzah mitzvah, but they would eat all Pesach long matzah that was Nishma Mishas Ketzira. They would eat Shmura matzah, real Shmura matzah from the time of the harvesting, all Pesach long, to get around this concern. When should you cut it? So Zemachlok is brought down in Dershu footnote number 25. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that they would cut it while they were still green, which means that they're very moist well before they're dried out. The Aruch HaShulchan says if you cut it then, that's going to unfortunately make it harder. They're still hard. It's going to make it harder to grind them. They're going to become chametz a little bit more easily in that situation because they're too moist. And he says you should wait till they become white when they're still not fully dried out, but they're dried out more than when they're green. He says in Eretz Yisrael, where it's unusual to have rain during this point in the year, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank Zatzal brings down that their minhag was to go and wait until they were gemar bishulim davka, until they were dried out, because it would be unusual that they, even if they did get dried out, that they would get rained upon, and therefore this concern wasn't as prevalent. And he says, v'azman haroy l'ksiras achitim, when is the optimal time to go and actually harvest the wheat? He brings down from the Das Torah, from the Marsham, shula acha chatzos hayom, that's after the middle of the day when the sun has had a chance to shine on them and dry up any dew, any tile that may be on them. And he points this out from the Piskei Tosvos in Menachos, where he says that it says Anshei Maisa Kotsrim Litzorach HaPesach Ki Hashemesh Zoreach. They do this when the sun has already been shining, and he directions that means out after Chatzos Hayom. The Mishnah Berurah continues in Sivkot Yud Ches Im Yardu Alav Gesham. This whole concern about the dried out wheat becoming chametz is only if it fell rain on it. Haynu Gesham Merum. And as I pointed out, the Mishnah Berurah says this means a lot of rain. But just a little bit of a rain, a sprinkling, or the dew, that comes down on these mature stalks, lo chayshin, and that's not something we have to be concerned about. He brings out from the Maimon Mordechai in the name of Rabbeinu Manoach that you could even use this for the matzah that you're going to yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah on Leil Seder. He says, well, I am the Shari Tshuva, Masha Kosa B'Shem Tshuva Asmil Tzedakah, and we can see this in Dershu footnote number 26, where he writes, Shekivan Shamayim Zolgim B'Zovim Me'al Gabi Achitim, the water goes onto the top of these stalks of wheat, Ein Hein Machmitzos Afilum Yored Geshem Rab. He says, it goes right off them, it slides off them, and it won't, even if there's a lot of rain, they won't really become chametz. He says, however, Im Yored Geshem Az B'Meshach Yomim Mispar, but if there's a very heavy rain, a torrential rain that goes for several days, then the chitim, so to say, get bent over, and they're actually lying on the ground. In that situation, there could be a chimutz process that's occurring even while they're attached to the ground. Now we go to Sifov. The Mechaber writes, Chitim shenim tzu behem mevukos. If you find wheat that has split, so normally we say the splitting represents that it's chametz. So osun she'ein mevukos mutaros. The rest of the wheat that is not split, you can assume is not chametz. And the Mechaber explains, Mipnei sha'adov v'motzui, because it's very common, shebishas kishomim, during the times of rain, el yonim hagodish v'sachtiso, the top stalks, as well as the ones that are right underneath them, mischametz, they can become chametz when they're dried out, umisbakeya, and they split. But it doesn't get to the ones in the middle at all. Let's understand this better by looking at the Mishnah Berurah, Siv Katan Yutes, where he writes, Mikom Mokom Tzrichim Levara Mehen Hamavukos. You can't use the ones that are split. That you have to be careful about. That could be real chametz. Oshiyal Kopanim Shishim Negdom. Or if you grind it up before Pesach, so then there has to be at least 60 against it. In Dirshu footnote number 27, he brings down, are you allowed to use this for matzah mitzvah? So he brings down, again, from the Shelus Tshuva Sholom Meshiv, what we discussed previously, that unless you're 100% certain that it's not chametz, we prefer not to use that for matzah mitzvah, because it doesn't have the status of really being shmura matzah. Because the chashash over here, we're relying upon the rov, and you don't want to use matzah mitzvah, something that you're relying upon a kula. And he says, "Ein dai bedin rov kedi lahachshav some lishmuros." It doesn't really categorize itself as being shmura matzah if you're relying upon batul berov. On the other hand, he brings out from the Marshag, "Mutul atzos matzah mitzvah meyosan shenim avukos." You can definitely rely that the others are not chametz. If they're not split, you can definitely use them. And he says, "This is the minig of the olam." He brings out from the Marmashik, "Shemiyikar din." That's right. You could make the matzah mitzvah. But he says, yesh hidu l'shtamish b'chitim shalonim tzubem mevukos klal. But he says, it's a hidu mitzvah to go and take one, there's zero chashash at all, even though you can argue the mikra din, there's zero chashash on the ones that aren't split. The issue footnote number 28 brings down that sometimes wheat splits not because of the chimutz process, but just because of the thickness of the seed inside that splits it open. And Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal brings down, if you know for certain that it wasn't split because of moisture, but it was split because of the huge grains inside, so then you're allowed to. But Shelus Tshuva's Divri Malkiel says you really need to be bucky over here in agronomy to know which wheat is split because of the large kernels inside versus which wheat is split because of moisture. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Katan Chaf that you're allowed to eat these, v'dafka sheinu lachos, only as long as they're not moist. And then you can assume that the ones that aren't split are okay. But if they're moist, then you have to be concerned that even though they're not split, that maybe they're chametz. Now we go to Sif Zayin. The Mechaber writes, Yisrael sheyesh lo boros meleim chitim, a yid that has his pits filled up with wheat. He's not planning on using them on Pesach, but that maybe there's humidity at the bottom of the bor, or in the walls of the bor, that actually have become split because of the moisture from the side and the bottom of the bor. So therefore, there is potentially grains over here that are chametz. So what should you do with such wheat? You're not planning on using it for Pesach. That's not the question over here, but you have to get rid of it. So he says, it's enough to say that heve ke'afra di'ara. It's enough to say that this is not mine, you're mevatel it, and that's okay. And we learned these halachas previously, Ayin Le'el and Simon Tov Lamedov, Siv Aleph, exactly how to do this properly so you don't have any concerns. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Chaf Aleph, Davi kechomet shenoflo ala mapolis. This is like wheat or chometz that has a building falling on top of it, and you don't have to go because you're not going to be able to get it out easily on Pesach, so you don't have to be concerned that you'll forget yourself and eat it on Pesach and die bebitl be'alma. And it's enough to just do bitl. Furthermore, he says, here you have an additional kula. Oh, this svek sveka. Here it's a svek sveka. Number one, shemalon ischamtu. Who says that they actually became chametz? The im tim tzilom and ischamtu. And even if they did become chametz, shemen isavshu. Maybe they've spoiled already and they're not really roi l'achilas kelev. So therefore, one can be make a little bit, and certainly bitl be'alma sagi. It's enough to just be mevatel it. Now we go to Siv Ches. We're not going to finish Siv Ches today, but we'll start it. The Mechaber writes, Devash shel yam Yehudi. You have honey from a non-Jewish person. Here we're talking about honey that comes from a bee's honeycomb. Ein machzikim uvisa. We do not presume that there's any issa present over here. And therefore, v'ochlin osa v'pesach. You can go and eat it on Pesach. What would be the concern? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Siv Katan Chaf Beis. We don't have to be concerned. Lomar shehu mezuyof besoles she'eruvubo. We don't have to be concerned that they mixed in. Mezuyof means like counterfeit, that it's not pure honey, that they mixed in some flour over here in order to make the consistency of the honey a certain consistency. Why do we not have to be concerned about this? De'achzuki yisu lo mechaskinan. If you have no knowledge that they did this, you don't have to worry that maybe they did this. But furthermore, dafilu ervu, even if they did put in some flour, harei dvash meperusu v'machmitzim. So this is, the honey is considered meperus, and meperus aren't machmitzim, the sheet of the mechaber. If you look in the Shaar HaTzion, Os Chavtes, he brings down, V'lomar Shema Mayim V'gam Kemach, to say that maybe water and flour got mixed in here, a double whammy, that's chashasha rechoki. That's too much of a concern. We don't have to be concerned about that. So maybe one and not the other. And that's what we'll see in the issue footnote number 29. He brings down that there is a concern for one of them, but you don't have to be concerned for both. So even if there's flour put in, it's mei peros ein machmitzim. And if there's water put in, well, there's no flour. So you don't have to be concerned for both. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot and Chof Gimel, you're allowed to therefore eat it on Pesach itself. You don't have to get rid of it. You can eat it. However, he brings down Yesha Kosu, the Hainu Davko Lechol Advash, the En, Kimoshu. That's to eat the pure honey, to put some honey in your tea, or to have honey on a cracker. That's allowed. Abo Lolushbo Isar, but to go and use this honey to make a honey dough, to make a honey cake, then that would be forbidden, also. Because here, Kimotsu Yubi Eso Tsasa Shaiva Mihadvash, because when they take out the honeycomb from the hive over here, and they have over here the wax of the honeycomb, they would normally, in order to get the honey out, they would add water. So now you definitely have the honey, which is mei peros, and water. And now if you put it in a dough, and it's actually be mahar lahachmitz, as we learned, so here you do have to be concerned. So to have the honey alone is no problem. But to use this honey, which probably had water mixed into it, that is not allowed. And that's what the issue footnote number 29 brings down over here. There's already a concern of one. They definitely put in the water. So now to mix it with the soles, to mix it with flour, that would be a double whammy, and that wouldn't be allowed. The Shaar HaTzion, Os Laman Alek, brings down, in other words, Hainu Shetzorich Os Shmiri Yaseri. If you're going to use this, you'd have to be extra careful. And therefore, Lekach in Lolosh Ben Lechachila. Therefore, don't do this, because it's going to be Mei Peros in water, and it's going to be Machmitzim Yoser Maher, and therefore, don't do this at all. However, the Ramah says, Hagah Miu, however, Yesh Machmir, he brings down from the Mordechai and the Gavos Maimonios, that there are those that are Machmir over here as well, and don't allow you to even eat the honey. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Chavdalit, Shuregilin Lari Bosoles Lesusa, because it was standard practice in those places that they would, in fact, put in moistened flour, Soles Lesusa, into the honey. So you have the double whammy over here. You have, even though it's Mei Peros, it has water, and now you're adding flour, so it's going to be Machmitz Yoser Maher. However, he says, the minog, the Meramah continues, minog b'medino se'elu shelo lechol dvash. Therefore, we don't eat it. The minog is to follow this machmir position and not eat it. Unless, rak oso shemeviim b'chovios minakaberis, except for the honey that comes right in the barrel, that comes straight from the honeycomb. And you can see that, clearly, she'osu b'menu mashke shekor meat, and they don't eat this directly, they then make this into the beverage that we call meat. It was also the lashon that they used over there. And the Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot and Chafei, pirush, shebedvash zeh shemeviim b'chovios minakaberis, in this type of honey which they bring in a barrel straight from the beehive, shemo'or bo'adayin hashaiva, the wax, the honeycombs is still in it. So certainly, no'agim l'ochel, that you can eat, af be'en, even the actual thing itself, without making it into a liquid. V'chein lasos imenu mashke mead, and to make it into this beer mead, this honey beer, is also allowed. He brings down in the Shaar HaTzion Oslam and Gimel, this is based upon the Taz, the Chok Yaakov, the Chok Yosef, explaining the Ramah. And there's also the opinion of the Prima Godin, that this is what the Ramah is telling us over here. But the Magen Avraham has a different opinion over here, which you can see in the issue footnote number 31. And the Magen Avraham says, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Magen Avraham, Shelo lechol dvash be'en, that you shouldn't eat the actual honey itself, even if they bring it in these big barrels. And the Kavan of the Magen Avraham is not necessarily to argue with the Ramah, El Shesover, that the Ramah is writing over here, Haminog b'dimunos elu shelo lechol dvash, unless it has over here coming with a honeycomb, he's specifically talking about the beer. Not that you eat the honey itself, but only that you eat the beer. But that's not the way most understand this. The Taz, the Chok Yaakov, and the others, they all understand the Ramah as saying that you'd even be allowed to have the actual honey itself, a machlokus over here between all these poskim and the Magen Avraham, understanding what the Ramah means. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says over here, the reason why you're allowed to over here is Mishum de ain derech lezayif. In this situation, they wouldn't add flour directly when the honeycomb is still in this container. Afilu lasas minu mashke mead bePesach, and therefore you could even make this mead on Pesach itself. Shari, permissible. Mishum simchas yontif, because you're going to enjoy drinking this on yontif. But this is talking about where you have nothing else. Mishum simchas yontif imein lo mashke cheres, so that you can use this. Avo mashke meviim bekelim kitanim sheminukim in hashai bebud. If they bring to you honey in smaller containers where there is no honeycomb or wax inside, so then derech ha'akam lo ben kemach. Then it was very common in those days in those places that they would add flour to it, and therefore lochein also liochlo, you can't eat that. And you shouldn't even make the mead in on that situation in Pesach. However, he brings down the Eishmei Achronim Shemachmirim B'zeh Ach Kodim Pesach. There are those that are even more Machmir over here. This is the opinion of the Bach, and as we just said, the Morgan Avraham, that the Machmir over here even before Pesach. Why? Mishum Demotzi Shema'arvim Behem Kemach Harbe. There are those that would add a lot of kemach over here. Actually, a bit haruvis hamayim shishim neged hakemach levatam, and they may in this situation not be 60 against the kemach, and therefore, even though if you did it before Pesach, it would be batal, but that's only if there were 60 against it. And he says as well, v'kein machrim shalolecho dvash be'en bePesach, and therefore those don't even eat the actual honey itself be'en on Pesach. Even in the larger containers over here, because of the concern, if you let them eat the larger containers, they'll eat it in the smaller containers. The issue footnote number 30 brings down that this is the opinion of the Bach and the Mogen Avraham, and that we just learned in the Sharat Zion over here. And this is being taught us over here. Even if you watch the Nochri do it in front of you, because there's a concern, if we allow you to have this, then they'll use the other honey that wasn't watched in front of you. However, the Mishnah Berurah himself says, everybody would agree, and you can see this in the Sharat Zion, Oslam and Zion, this is Lekulei Alma, Im lo osan shevi'in im hachadorim haktanim sholem kmo shu munach bekaveris. But if they bring it in the small utensils, in the same way that they did in the log containers, and it has the honeycomb in it, shadayin l'misrasik, it hasn't been removed from the honeycomb, then it's permissible. If the honeycomb is present, then it's not a concern. How do we paskin? The Mishnah says, "Well, in your ma'isa, basias mashki meat kodem haPesach, are you allowed to make this before Pesach or not?" Mashma diri achronim. He says the majority of the achronim hold over here. The noagim actually lahokel that we can be makel to make this mead, this beer, honey, af miosin shabom mekel mekan, even if it came from smaller utensils, because the tolinun she is batal kem b'shishim, because the vast majority of the time it is going to be batal b'shishim, and therefore if you make it beforehand, it's not chozer v'nir. Unless you're from a place where they definitely mix in more, and it's not necessarily going to be bottle b'shishim. And finally, if somebody wants to be machmir and only use the honey that comes with the honeycomb in it in order to make the mead before Pesach, tov ol of bracha. That is preferable, and such a person will be blessed. And what about eating on Pesach, the honey itself? That depends again on the places, whether they do or do not mix in a certain amount of flour. And he says it would be the Nasenu. The custom was in the Ashkenazi communities in Europe, they did allow it. However, but you can't just rely upon them and say every place does it this way. You have to know this for certain. So some places actually put pieces of bread into the honeycomb at the time that they're pouring out the honey from the honey hive, or other actual chometznik items, and therefore, if you have to be concerned about this, absolutely, also you certainly can't eat this because it has real chometz inside of it. Real chometz, be'en on Pesach. The Chofetz Chaim says in Sharat Zion Mem Aleph, why not strain it? He says, L'chora, afim yirtzel l'sani l'mahani. You can't strain this because it's too thick. And he brings down from the Morgan of Rome, the mofal pas b'mei dvash, if you have bread that fell into mead, which is very thick itself, l'mahani sinan. So certainly over here, in the actual honey itself, that you can't strain it. However, the Mishnah continues and he says, Avo mutu lasos v'menu mashke mead kodem Pesach, but you can make it into the beer before Pesach, he says, because even if there would be, the Chofetz Chaim, the Sharat Zion says, because it's only a chashash over here, ba'alma yesh lahokil, the end of the os mem aleph in the Sharat Zion. That's why he brings this down and from the Chayyadim as well, that it would be permissible to make it lamaisa before Pesach into mead. Mechaber continues and he writes, "Uta'enim yaveshim, dried figs, v'anovim yaveshim, which are known as raisins, shekorin rosini raisins that we call raisins. Obviously, the dried grapes, but they used to call this rosini also to the dried figs. And whether the gedolim or ketanim, whether they're large or whether they're small." That is totally b'minag ha'makomos. Can you have these dry types of fruits? And this leads us into a whole discussion over here, whether you're allowed to or not allowed to have such dried fruits. And we, Mitzvah Hashem, will pick this up tomorrow. Tomorrow's shiur is relatively short, so we'll leave it off over here. We'll talk about dried fruits in tomorrow's shiur. With this, we conclude today's shiur.